Okay, we're back. Joshi 2010's journey continues on. Thank you, everyone, listening on the Patreon. And if you're listening to this on delay, AJW Destiny podcast feed, consider, well, subscribing and helping out and getting these episodes a couple weeks early. Because, goddamn, we are 2 episodes away from finishing 2012. Let's check the docket here ahead of time. Okay, so if you include this one, it's 3. We got JWP Climax 2012 and Ribbon Mania 2012. Was not able to find the LLPW X 2012 show. Big nostalgia show. We can kind of point to Mizuki and All Caps Saki kind of starting their careers around this time. No footage. No known docs exist. So if you're listening, spread the word. Let's see if we can't get something like that. Because things are either going to be lost in the ether, or in the case of what we're going through with Stardom here, we could be looking at the end of the company as you know, just 13 years after its birth with, well, Rossi Ogawa has a lot to do with it. And with this show, we're on the road to Yuzuki Aikawa's retirement at Sumo Hall. With the not true attendance number, but nonetheless, we're doing year-end Climax 2012, what was regarded for many years as kind of their biggest show of the year. But if we kind of look back on even just the early stages of the company and what's happening here, we can point to, let's see, I'm pulling it up. This show, Urine Climax, got 1,030 to the show with the main event of Aikawa and Nanai Takahashi, while Stardom X Stardom 2012 from August had 1,560, which would be considered a hell of a sellout in this time frame. If you remember, that was the, I can't say rematch, but the makeup match between Aikawa and Yoko Bito, with the world title underneath of Nanai and Yoshiko. And, I mean, that was a big indicator to me that Aikawa, I mean, we all kind of know she's the biggest star in the company and kind of the biggest women's star in the Joshi scene going at this point in time. But we can also point to back in March of this very year at the highest, which was undoubtedly their show of the year. That was headlined by Nanai and Mako, with Aikawa and Bito underneath going for the tag titles, which they would go on to win. That had 1,320. So Aikawa and Bito, when they're involved, is a big draw. At least in this relative sense. While when it's... So Bito's retired at this point in time. Neck issues. They've vacated the tag titles, which led to a lot of the Goddess Stardom League, which took place over 6 nights, with the 6th night being at the end of November, which I did watch that show as well, so I'll do a brief little rundown there. But when it comes to the Nanai Takahashi on top, and what people have seen and been there, done that before, for what it's worth, she is, I guess you can point to a little stability in this promotion. But when it comes down to it, Yuji Aikawa in a main event gets you over the 1,000 marker, the best and most consistent. But as I've seen throughout the end of 2011 and throughout 2012, it's the combination of Aikawa and Bito that really drew interest in this promotion. It's a real shame that Bito's retired due to injury at this point in time with the titles vacated, and Aikawa is on the road to retirement. Which was announced a while ago. I'm not sure if it was announced officially at this point in time. The videos end before she can make some sort of announcement. I think it was at the end of Urine Climax 2012 that she did it, but there's no footage I can find or confirmation of that. I'm kind of just going off of my memory as who the hell is texting me and Hello Kitty Cat. Jesus Christ. All right, let's... turn all that off. Kitty, you're... Okay, cool. Everyone's good. So, we last left off covering Osaka Champion Night, where Alpha Female arrives. That's the big thing there. And we'll get more Alpha Female as we head into 2013, which I think is a big pivot point in the Joshi scene, with Arisa Nakajima, Yuzu Kayakawa's retirement, and Io Shirai, I guess, sort of taking off at that point in time. Not quite. We'll have to see that for ourselves. And JWP is going to be going through some changes with the Arisa Nakajima move. Ice Ribbon will then have a full year under its belt without Emi Sakura, more or less. Oz Academy is going to have to make do without all the retirements that we know of at this point in time. And in our last episode, as you saw, Sendai is basically only going to draw with nostalgia stuff. They have no new talent to speak of or push, other than the same Ryu Mizunami and Kagetsu, but we saw kind of the placement that they have them in currently, and that show wasn't very good. So 2012 has been a very strange year in the case, and when I was looking at my rankings and everything that I've kept track of throughout, 2012 and throughout the previous 2 years on this journey, when it comes to the accumulation of match ratings, wrestler of the year rankings that I like doing the dumb little statistics for, which is just fun to do, I see no issue with a lot of these, to be honest. And the amount of points is a big indicator to the difference between this modern era we're in and the era we're currently watching right now. And what I mean by that is the more you run, the more you wrestle, the more people will talk about you, the more often people will talk about you, and the more you're able to put that work in and impress. So I'm not shocked that number one to finish this year is going to be Ayumi Kurihara with what seems to be a meager 42 points. Okay? And to give some perspective on that, as I pull up, let me just put in, let's just go back to 2023 here, for Women's Wrestler of the Year. Mika, Julia, and Suzu Suzuki all eclipsed 100, okay? And a lot of the Stardom roster eclipsed 100. Hanaka Nakamori and Pure J, she got 40 points, and that's kind of more indicative of what I'm talking about with this 2012 era. Yes, we're coming out of the Dark Age, but if you look at the company or the scene without Stardom, we got Miyuki Takase at 39 points, Stephanie Vacker and CMLL at 39 points, Miyu Yamashita at 34 points. So just looking at that, and we compare to kind of what I'm looking at here in 2012, we're in another Dark Age in this modern era, and heading there quick. That's kind of the point I wanted to say with the rankings and the match guide, and also what it takes to kind of get those points. And so a lot has to do with my own interest in the wrestling aspect and what matches are better. That's all, I think, pretty obvious and goes without saying. But even with something like the Tokyo Sports Awards, where Yuzu Kayakawa won in 2011, and I believe she won in 2012 here, it's not too far off, even from what I have here. And Aikawa is a top five interest wrestler in the women's wrestling scene that isn't in WWE with what they were doing at this point in time. You get the idea there. So we had Osaka Champion Night. We've gone through the year of Joshi Wrestling and Stardom in particular. 2013 is going to be a year to debut talent, push new talent, because with Bito and Aikawa gone, they're going to have to rely on Nanai Takahashi, Natsuki Tayo as the veterans, and then the upcoming Io Shirai. And we're going to be on that journey throughout 2013 to see how the promotion is able to bounce back with what I now firmly believe their two biggest stars, gone in the promotion. And yes, I do believe Yoko Beto had that sort of impact with Stardom in particular at this point in time and in this time frame. So we go to the end of the Goddesses of Stardom Tag League on day 6. I watched the whole show. Shinkiba first ring, 403 people. Very consistent with Stardom getting those numbers. And boy, oh boy, when you look at numbers today, getting 400 anywhere, many of these Joshi companies would just kill for that. Basically, the last two matches were the interesting aspect to pay attention to. In order to win the block and go on to the finals, Natsuki Tayo and Yoshiko defeated Yusuke Aikawa and Yuhi. So they paired Yuhi up with Yusuke Aikawa to kind of get this new hip-happening tag team there. But while Yuhi is an A++ chipper prospect, S-tier level type women's wrestler, she's still very green around putting a match together. And yes, she is very much a Flourish highlight show. And she, you can see the potential oozing. The looks there, the athleticism's there. She's a very young teenager. She's going through school at this time. And it's a real shame that she's not going to stick with this, at least from the wrestling aspect. Perhaps she's doing something bigger and better now. Who knows? Maybe she's an economist working at a bank making hundreds of thousands, right? But in this instance, in our fandom of what we care about, Yuhi and Aikawa put up a good battle against Yoshiko and Tayo, and Yoshiko's another huge chip prospect, and we'll be keeping an eye on her, knowing what happens to her. We'll keep that in mind a little bit separately. That time will come. So they had a good 14-minute match. I thought that was easily the strongest tag match during the whole tag league, while the main event was a sub-10 minutes. It was for the vacated title. It's Tayo and Yoshiko, and they defeated Kairi Hojo and Natsumi Shozuki. Not sure why they went in this direction exactly. What's interesting is Io Shirai was pairing up with Mayu Iwatani in the red block on the earlier part of the show, and they lost because, well, this Mayu chick, she no good at this time. she is pretty awful. She's one of the lower end workers on the roster at this time, which is very funny looking back on it. I mean, she has three left feet and an arm, if you catch my drift. But Kairi Hojo, she eats the fall to Yoshiko. She takes a beating at the end to both Tayo and Yoshiko. Natsumi Shozuki, she's got the gi gimmick going on. It's fine. The match was not. But definitely check out Aikawa and Yuhi against Yoshiko and Tayo. 1 out of 3. Nice little 2.5, 3-star match deal. Being generous. And then we go on to the Cork and Hall show, which we got Haley Hatred coming into the promotion. She defeated Yui Yoku in her debut match. Very standard 8-minute. Haley Hatred just kind of put her into the mat. Let's see. Does it say when she retires? I believe she doesn't wrestle very long at all. I think it might be like 6 months. Yeah, I don't think... Yeah, she doesn't wrestle very long. Anyways, Haley Hatred just puts her down. Rookie match. We move on. Miho Wakizawa and Eri Susa defeat Mayu Iwatani and Kelly Skater. Kelly Skater, little shimmer prospect there. 9 minutes. Mayu stinks. Eri Susa is somehow better than her at this moment in time. An unfathomable thought, to be honest. And Miho Wakizawa, she is, she's a comedy show. She's all about team passion with Nanai Takahashi. Got the little group going on there, and she just yells it feverishly throughout the match, especially at the beginning. Not good. This was not good at all. So then we get to, I will call it the business end of the card here. Everything from here on out is at least somewhat interesting. Kairi Hojo and Shozuki defeat Saki Kashima and Act Yasukawa. Act, bundle of charisma, still developing in the ring. Saki Kashima, believe it or not, has the most potential at this point in time among Act, Mayu, and not Yuhi, but I'm trying to think of another person on this roster. I guess Shozuki. I guess they're certainly highlighting her. Kairi, could she be at the level of Sakigashima at this point? I mean, she's certainly connecting with the crowd a lot quicker than Sakigashima is, put it that way. 10-minute match, not much else to say there. And then this one, Kyoko Kimura defeats Io Shirai. And this was a firecracker of a match. So Io's got this shiny gold gear on, really looking like she took the top from Yoshiko's old gear and then made it into her own. Who knows? Maybe that's the true story, because Yoshiko was wrestled later in the night without the gold top onesie thing going on. Now I say it out loud, that theory might hold some weight. but anyways, so Kyoko and Io Shirai have a battle. They're sprawling on the outside. Io Shirai is doing moonsaults and flips. While Kyoko, look, she's not a very dynamic wrestler at all. She's very much starting to lean into more heel work. From what we've seen on this journey in the last, this would be year three of doing it. Kyoko's best work has been in Stardom to this point. She had a few feuds in Oz Academy here and there, but mostly she was an indie type person. And so Kyoko's just throwing big boots left and right. She doesn't have a lot of dynamic moves to her. She's really just a brawler and not much of one, but she's bigger and stronger than basically everybody. Because if you guys remember Hana Kimura and she would do the suplex and then delay, or even Mika, and just before they fall forward, she catches them and then threw it over. Well, she does this with Io Shirai, and there's no tease. It's up, it's down, caught, and then one fluid motion. Very strong, lots of strength. Kyoko Kimura works out, and she's very strong for it. And the match kind of ruled. I was leaning 2 out of 3. I might go with that in the end when I put pen to paper here. The match ends with a big fire-up sequence where they're kicking each other in the head and doing power-up spots. And it sort of just ends out of nowhere with Kyoko hitting them headbutt after all these headbutt power spots. Yeah. Headbutt and then the slam or whatever she did. No, she just does a running boot like she did like 4 other times prior and then just pins her. So take that finish for what it's worth. I thought it kind of ruled. 3 1/4, 3.5 region there. 1, 2 out of 3. Quite good. Quite energizing type of match. So when will Io Shirai win? It's been 6 months since her wrongful incarceration at the border in Japan, getting weed planted on her through a painting. Go back and listen to that episode. Lots of fun. We move on. Goddess of Stardom title match. So Yuhi is back for round 2. She's teaming here with Hiroyo Matsumoto, and they're taking on Taiyo and Yoshiko. And basically, this was the highlight show. This was a highlight show match. Yuhi is doing jump kicks. She's really exchanging a lot of thrust kicks and heel kicks with Natsuki Taiyo. Yoshiko's just straight up brawling with Hiroyo. Then they trade out one more sequence with, you know, Yuhi against Yoshiko, Matsumoto against Taiyo, but it comes down to Taiyo and Yuhi. Yuhi's throwing up lion salts. She's doing dives to the outside. Just the athleticism behind this woman is incredible. She's a joy to watch. And when I'm thinking about Ogawa Promotions RCN 2.0 coming, you know, if you're taking someone out of retirement, it's Yuhi and Yusuke Aikawa. Let's go. Let's see what's going on. Bito's neck can hold up. Let's get her out there too. Momoe Nakanishi. Oh my god, Momoe, let's, Nakanishi, Jesus. Let's get Momoe out of retirement too while we're at it. Let's go full bore with this. Don't need Nanai, though. And it's a hell of a finish in this match. Hiroyo, look, good wrestler, very strong. She's hitting Judas effects out there, left and right. The problem I have with Hiroyo is no one is going with her. And I realize a lot of that has to do with the freelance status. She's very much on her own out there. But when we watched that Nanai Hiroyo singles match at Corrigan Hall and how over she got and how much people got behind her. She is the upcoming young star the scene needs. And it's a real shame that we've been witnessing this formula of hers, even on this journey, the last 3 years, but throughout her career, depending on how long you've been following, the Hiroyo tag match formula is always the same. She'll get in there. She'll be simply a base for the real stars of the match, while she's never the star herself, and she ghosts herself away slowly. She has a beginning sequence. In this case, it was with Yoshiko. And once that sequence is over, she ghosts. She'll break up pins. She'll do a simple power spot here and there, but she will not be heavily involved, and you kind of forget about her near the end. And she's not the only wrestler that does that too, but in this instance, we're sticking with what Hiroyo does. And is Yuhi the focus, and should she be the focus? Yes, I agree. I do like that. But when it comes to Hiroyo, I'd like to see her do more, and I'd like to see a promotion do more with her. And if this is the best we can get out of her in stardom for now, you know, it's a real shame. It becomes kind of the Ayumi Kurihara syndrome where, shit, one of the best workers in the scene can't get booked to go over anyone, and they mostly ghost their way out of things. So, Yoshiko, I believe she hits, is it a powerbomb or something on Hiroyo? Big lariat. Throws Tayo up and over herself, a leapfrog style, up onto the top rope to grab Yuhi, who is going up to the top to land something. And Tayo catches, sets her up, hits a Spanish fly, and pins her. Hell of a finish. I adored this match. It's an easy 2 out of 3. I don't have to think about this one very much. 14 minutes. Very much enjoyable. And then the main event. 20 minutes, 50 seconds. No Wonder of Stardom title on the line with Yuzuki Aikawa. It's straight up for the World of Stardom title. This is coming off the 5-star Grand Prix victory. And Nanai Takahashi successfully defends it against Yuzuki Aikawa. Yes, the Passion Woman herself. At this point in time, and in 2012, I'm here to say Nanai Takahashi had a good year. She had a very strong year, a good in-ring year. Was she a successful world champion? About as good as a Nanai could be, I suppose. She's not a discernible star by any means, but she can certainly be a element of consistency when she herself is not the focal point star. That's Yuzuki Aikawa, that was Yoko Bito, and that's a numerous other of young talents that this promotion is highlighting. Well, Nanai is the veteran presence. She is there. I get it. She puts in a hell of a match with Yuzuki Aikawa here, and she did not hold back. Aikawa kicked the hell out of her. They had, I thought, an excellent start where they pump each other into the corner, and it seems like they're having a brouhaha, like they're not getting along, and the ref has to inject himself and really pull them apart to get the match back in a respectable manner. It gave the match heat. I very much enjoyed that. And from there, it was a lot of lariats from Nanai. It was a lot of kicks from Aikawa. Good power-up spots between them both. And very much kind of a better version of the Io Shirai-Kyoko Kimura match. Because, yes, Nanai is a more dynamic worker than Kyoko Kimura. At least at this function in time. Maybe when Kyoko finds her true heel self and the Oedo Tai group comes into play, maybe that time will change things. But in Nanai's case here, she really sold well for Yuzuki Aikawa, and that's another reason why I'm so critical of her these days, is this is what happens when she can run the ropes, run from corner to corner, really put on a show where she's running into the person rather than them running into her. It looks like an actual wrestling match where two people involved instead of just one. And Nanai's bumping. She's getting punt kicked in the face. She's selling. This is a wrestler to me. Not someone washed up. And that's what really irritates me about watching even someone like a Mayumi Ozaki, who I have immense respect for with how she's able to get herself over. The booking, we'll put that aside. Same way with Nanai's booking. But in this case, look, this is two matches in a row between Nanai and Aikawa that I've given at least 4 stars to. It's a full 3-level match with a very compelling finish, very compelling elements where they're exchanging blows and the fire-up spots, which I already mentioned. Nanai's able to get these people up, no problem. There's no, like, weird interference or weird no-sell spots. Everything was there to make an enjoyable match. And I really have to think hard as I gotta look up the match of the years here I have listed for 2012. And I'm really at an impasse here because I don't think it's better than Kurihara Shushibatani from the January Wave show. So that would probably put this match around the number 11 mark, believe it or not. Which, if I'm looking at Stardom matches throughout 2012, this might be the third best match from Stardom this year. Nanai and Mako is certainly one. Taiyo and Shirai, the high-speed title match from Osaka Starlight, would be two, and this might be three. But I don't think it's quite there to be in the top 10. But I just want to give credit where credit's due, that their 5-star Grand Prix match was excellent. I went full 3 on that one. And now this one was excellent. I went full 3 on this one. And with that, that's going to put Nanai at 28 points on the year. So, and that gives Aikawa 33, it looks like. 33, and depending on how JWP ends, these two are going to place somewhere in the top 5, depending on the JWP talent for what they do at Climax 2012. So, yeah. Look, put your money where your mouth is, and I'm willing to say Nanai and Aikawa really gave it their all in 2012 with two great matches. I generally enjoyed these immensely. I'm quite shocked, honestly, that one of the wrestlers I have the least interest in the scene, perhaps of all time. There's very few that match the level of my disinterest in Nanai Takahashi, but these two just get it, and they make a compelling match. I vastly enjoy it. So where does Stardom go in 2013? Well, we're on the road to Aikawa's retirement at Sumo Hall, and then from there, it's all guesses. That's where this promotion's focused, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they have to do in the future. So that will leave us looking forward to JWP Climax 2012, where Arisa Nakajima's in the main event going for the title against Emi Sakura. And then we have Ribbon Mania after that. And that's going to be the normal 2012 review show where I break down the top 10 matches of the year from the Joshi scene, from what we were able to cover. Then I also break down some of the points and aspects. And slowly but surely, I will be gathering up the list of what to watch for 2013. So keep an eye out on that on the Patreon. It's always a free post pinned that you can find. It shows a schedule of many of the shows we're going to watch. And also, I still got to work on the attendance figures throughout the decade. A lot of people like the Patreon show where I break down the state of Joshi, and I'm still working on that for 2023. Pretty much have that done and some thoughts together. So from 2010 through at least 2012, I want to get that done. And that will be kind of thrown into, I don't think I'll have it done in time for the Ribbon Mania show for 2012, but hopefully I'll have that done down the line. So you'll probably hear that in one random episode as we get through 2013 of a attendance recap for, throughout all these promotions. And there you go. Joshi 2010s. We're done.